This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. So now, here's WSMI's Angela Besh.
Thank you. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced enrollment for the Dairy Farm Risk Management Program will begin next week. On September 2nd, farmers can enroll in the new Dairy Margin Protection Program. The voluntary program, established by the 2014 Farm Bill, provides financial assistance to participating farmers when the difference between the milk price and feed costs falls below the coverage level selected by the farmer. The Margin Protection Program, which replaces the Milk Income Lost Contract Program, gives participating dairy producers the flexibility to select coverage levels best suited for their operation. Enrollment ends on November 28th for 2014 and 2015. There has certainly been no shortage of controversy floating around the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers' proposed Waters of the U.S. rule. The American Farm Bureau Federation has even put out a campaign titled Ditch the Rule in an effort to stop it from going forward, at least with the current wording. EPA Region 7 Administrator Carl Brooks was at the Farm Progress Show this week to discuss the Waters of the U.S. rule.
If you clear away some of the more heated rhetoric at the edges of the discussion, you see a lot of really important common issues that American agriculture and EPA and the Corps are working to solve right now. And I think it's at the core of those important issues that the real work has to happen here over the next couple of months. I think everybody who follows the issue knows this is a proposal. It's a draft rule that the Corps of Engineers and EPA put out on the street, and we have heard lots of commentary about it. Important point to make is the agencies want to get the rule right before it's a final rule, and we want to be clear, we want to be effective, and we want to be practical with it. And so the comments that we're getting from sessions like here at Farm Progress and other kinds of work that I do in the heartland allows the agency to see ways where we can get a clearer, more effective rule.
Despite the outburst of resistance that greeted this proposed rule, Brooks said there is one main reason the EPA continues to push it forward.
The rule is something that the United States Supreme Court and the Congress of the United States both indicated that the two agencies needed to do. There were a couple of Supreme Court decisions came down in the early part of the 2000s that said to the Corps and to the EPA, the way you're interpreting the Clean Water Act is not correct. Go back and do a better job of it. And so now this is the effort by the agencies to respond to that Supreme Court direction. The lawyers for the agencies who have written the draft rule have written it in a way that they believe complies with those Supreme Court decisions. We think we're also responding to Congress's direction to do this by a rulemaking. Some of you who've been in the business longer than others may remember that 3 or 4 years ago, the two agencies tried to do it through something called guidance. We got a lot of flack about that. Folks said, no, we'd rather have you do a classic rulemaking where you go out and you take comments and then you take those comments back and you propose a final rule, not this guidance stuff. That's why we're doing this right now.
The main contention over the rule is summed up on the AFBF's Ditch the Rule website. According to the site, the rule expands the EPA's and Army Corps of Engineers' regulatory authority under the Clean Water Act, giving the agencies the power to dictate land use decisions and farming practices in or near puddles, ponds, ditches, ephemerals, land that looks like small streams during heavy rain but isn't wet most of the time, as well as isolated wetlands. Brooks argues this is not what the EPA desires the proposed rule to accomplish.
The most important point that I share with producers all over the heartland when I go around to sessions where we're discussing this proposed rule is, if you did not need a permit from the Corps or the EPA before this rule becomes final, you will not need a permit from those agencies after it becomes final. So that the rule maintains a status quo that agriculture has enjoyed now for some 42 years. Remember, the Congress back at the Clean Water Act start in 1972 excluded almost all farming and ranching practices from coverage of the Clean Water Act. This rule would continue that. In our part of the country, out to the west where it's drier, there's been a great deal of concern about groundwater. You can't grow crops in Kansas and Nebraska without irrigation. This rule does nothing to give EPA any regulatory authority over groundwater. We're not a water management agency in that sense. Folks in Iowa, where the landscape is tile drained, have worried that perhaps now tile drains will become subject to it. It's very clear that tile drains are not subject to this rule. So I think as this conversation goes on and the questions come up and the agencies provide answers, we get a better sense of where the real points are that need to be fixed before the rule is final.
Again, that's Carl Brooks, EPA Region 7 Administrator. We'll hear more from Brooks coming up after this.
If you could design the perfect farm insurance policy, it would probably look a lot like AgriPlus from Country Financial. With AgriPlus, you get all the benefits of a standard farm policy plus higher limits on the coverages most important to you. Best of all, you can choose the coverages you want, so you're not paying for what you don't need. For help on achieving financial security, see me, your country representative, Wayne Schaefer in Jerseyville today, and find out more about AgriPlus, custom-made farm insurance at an affordable price. Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M Crop Specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge and know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service Crop Specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company Crop Specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
When you join the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, you are helping to protect the family farm. The Macoupin County Farm Bureau strives through various programs for farmers to keep the family farm profitable. Meanwhile, we provide farmers with up-to-date information to help keep your food supply safe and plentiful too. Farm Bureau also fights government legislation restricting your property rights and also fights to restrict prime farmland from being converted to non-farm uses. For more information, call the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value and concern for you.
When it comes to the proposed Waters of the U.S. rule, farmers are concerned that this opens the door for the EPA to regulate puddles, ponds, ditches, ephemerals, and isolated wetlands on their property. The EPA is trying to assure everyone that that is not the case, and that's all well and fine, but the language of the proposal as it currently stands would leave the doors open for regulatory creep. In other words, they say they will not use the rule to severely regulate farming practices, but they could and may do so in the future.
I was with our administrator in mid-Missouri here about 3 weeks ago when she went out and did a series of listening tours about Waters of the United States, and I heard her say, both on a farm and at a Missouri College of Agriculture event, the best interaction a producer has with EPA is the one that never has to happen. And that's what this rule is designed to try to do, is to make it clear on the front end where somebody does not need to go to the EPA or to the Corps of Engineers to have any kind of conversation at all.
A common concern held by those directly involved in agriculture is that this rule is the lead-in for a Chesapeake Bay-type situation here in the Mississippi River Basin to control the Gulf Hypoxia region. Brooks says that is not the case and that they are going at this rule from a very different angle.
In every part of the country, water quality challenges come from different sources and they've got different kinds of solutions. Out on the Chesapeake Bay, which is a long way from my area here in the heartland, the challenges were ones that the solution came from a series of controls on nutrients. The situation that we face here in the heartland, whether it's on the Illinois side of the Mississippi or here on the Iowa side, they're going to be dealt with through a series of solutions that are almost always driven by on-the-ground decisions, local land use practices, close work with our state partners, and innovations from folks who farm and ranch, as well as from folks who supply them services and equipment. That's where the solutions are coming from. Iowa being a great example, the Iowa strategy to control nutrient pollution. It's not premised on regulation. It's premised on setting goals and then deploying a lot of different techniques to achieve those goals. Most of them are driven by the same savvy and smarts and experience that people have used to raise the food in the first place.
One thing is for certain, the EPA has heard the concern of farmers through hundreds of comments directed towards the EPA from the ag community.
Oh, their voices are heard loud and clear. I believe that we've gotten over 350,000 specific formal comments into the EPA about the waters of the United States. Some of them are probably one line on a postcard. Some of them have been like legal and scientific discourses and treatises. All of those are going to be very thoroughly and very carefully considered by the EPA and the Corps of Engineers. So farmers may be small in number, but they seem to have a pretty good idea how to reach out and let the EPA know when we should be doing something a little bit different, and they sure have.
With all of this input from the ag community, Brooks says there are a couple main points that are brought up continuously that the EPA will be looking to address.
Two of the points that I have heard the administrator say the agencies need to step back and do a better job on when we come out with the final version. The first is the so-called interpretive rule that includes the USDA and NRCS practices. From the get-go, that was not well explained, and it has not been well understood in the countryside. I'm fairly sure that the agencies will take another look at that. The goal was to try to incent practices that producers were already doing that we know have water quality benefits. It's been seen, and I think probably seen correctly, as not put together in the right way to give people the incentives that they want and the security and clarity that they want. Second thing we've heard about is trying to do a better job on explaining this connectivity issue so that uplands, wetlands, ditches, and perennial streams are better understood at the outset as part of a connected system. So I'm guessing that that's probably a fairly common point we're getting. Naturally, you take an area like Iowa, which is quite hilly and pretty wet, so you're going to have a lot of rain and snow melt. You're going to have ditches all over the place. Questions have been raised about the agency's intent to manage those ditches, to manage that snow melt and runoff. That's something that the rule will need to be clearer about.
Environmental Protection Agency Region 7 Administrator Carl Brooks. The Illinois Agri-Women will be holding their quarterly business meeting on Thursday, September 4th at 10 a.m. at the farm of their Vice President, Susan Wall. It's located just northwest of Sorrento at 309 Sorrento Avenue, Sorrento, Illinois. Lunch and speakers will follow, featuring Wes Porchat, Emily Hartman with Bond County Ag in the Classroom, and Marcoot Jersey Creamery. Susan Wall and the Agri-Women are extending an invitation for all members and women actively involved with agriculture to come so they can meet you. If you plan to come, you can give Susan a call at 217-272-4485. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.